Hi, I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Square is bringing Snessie back. Monkey fighter Woody Harrelson is now mentoring Han Solo. The Duffer Brothers steal Montauk, and much more. So grab your spoons because the soup is served.
That's right. Welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that has dialed Jenny every week since 1981. You know, just hoping she'd answer.
You know, what's the area code?
You know what? I think you just throw up any area code you want. I mean, you could do a 218. Oh. You could do a 330. There's got to be a Jenny out there at every area code, you'd think.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and I've got Bruce. I've got some nuns. I've got a whole bunch of people, but I haven't got Jenny yet. How about you guys?
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
This is true.
Well, my name's Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. Hey. How goes it, guys?
Good.
Pretty good. Had an interesting hike out in the woods today looking for deer sheds and found some.
Did you find a body?
Found a nice deer shed, and then way back about 2 miles in the woods, I found someone's discarded adult magazines and individually ripped out pages from an adult novel that was, you know, illicit material, but there was just like 4 or 5 pages all rolled up together. Like they just had ripped out the pages they liked and then decided, I'm going to go with these ones.
I'm only going to read these.
Yeah.
So and did you wash your hands after you?
I did, yeah. And I very carefully picked up the one corner, like, what is this? And then I'm reading, like, holy cow. So I snapped a picture, and the rest of everything, I left it laying on the ground. I didn't touch anything. So
that's a good idea.
Hey, yeah, now I know you guys can't see this, but I'm going to go, quote, someone, unquote, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not me.
Dave? Yeah,
definitely okay. Was not me. And I'm curious who it is, because this is an area that, I mean, it is open to the public, and there's a snowmobile trail that runs through it. But where I found this was way off the trail. I mean, it wasn't like someone was just cruising on a snowmobile and was like, I better get rid of this before my mom sees it, you know, something like that. This was way off in the woods. It had been buried under the snow and melted. It was one of the few spots of bare ground I found in the woods today, but so someone obviously was out further and decided to ditch this stuff. And
now, did you turn around slowly to see if anyone was watching you?
I looked for any trail cams, you know, anything like that, you know, anyone might have set up just for that. But no, I didn't see nothing. So
maybe there's aliens out there and they were setting a human trap.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't
I heard
even say
they like
this.
Adult materials.
Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't even say this, but I think I'm safe because I don't think any of them listen. But in the back of my mind, I can't help but suspect I've got a cousin who's, I don't know what he is, 17 to 19 years old.
Throwing his cousin under the bus.
No, but random stash, probably my cousin.
Hear me out. This cousin of mine, he's somewhere between 18 and 19, right in there. And he does go, like, all the time. He'll just disappear, you know, and takes off. I'm going to go out in the woods on a four-wheeler, takes off and goes. And it did make me wonder if he had something with him and then was heading back home and like, I can't take this home. My parents will bust me if he just dumped it.
Hey, I'm going to shoot this theory right into the ground here for you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We, in our youth, used to look at nudie mags.
Yeah.
These kids have the internet. They do not need printed material.
No, I know that.
This is some old dude.
No.
He's
that
probably
could
like
be.
80, well, 70s out there.
Could be an old timer.
Don't be looking at me, Margaret.
Could adult be. And if it's like erotic fiction, that was written in story form.
Right,
it's
like, that would not be my cousin, most likely, but it was interesting, and I thought, wow, this
your
is...
Your uncle.
Yeah, maybe it was my uncle. Who knows?
Question here, though, for you, Dave. Could you still make out any of the faces of the women?
Oh, yeah.
All right, did any of them look anything like Alexa?
No. Mm. Nothing
they
like
didn't.
Alexa.
Did any of them look like Amazons?
Maybe this woman did. She had a toe in her
Sorry
mouth.
To tell.
And were any of them hands free? I mean, like,
well, she had a toe
right
in her mouth.
Okay, let's segue away from this. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. Amazon Kindle Fire devices now have hands free Alexa voice services. So
yes.
Is this kind of turning just any Kindle Fire into basically an Amazon Echo?
Yeah, essentially. I haven't. And the only reason I noticed this, I remember hearing about it, that it was coming. It was coming. And I went.
Hey, we're off that topic. We're on Amazon now.
No, gross.
We might have to edit that one.
Gross. No. No, keep it in. I thought it was good. No.
Oh, dude, we're off that topic, dude.
You're horrible. As far as the Amazon Kindle device, what happened is I went, when I was going to bed the other night, late last week, and I grabbed my Kindle.
Well, again, dude, we're off the subject. Is this episode 69?
It is. That is not.
Dave planned all of this out.
Let's keep this above bar, gentlemen.
Yeah, these were all true stories. But regarding the Kindle, I grabbed it. I was going to play a little Marvel Puzzle Quest and had a big splash notice on there. Oh, your Kindle's been updated, and you now have the Amazon voice services on there. And I was like, oh, this is cool, but then I was, my wife was sleeping.
We're now listening to you.
Yeah, my wife was sleeping, and I thought, I disabled it on mine because I wasn't sure. I was going to bed, I didn't feel like taking time to set it all up, and my wife was sleeping there, so I didn't want to test it, and you have to do some things to set it up, it sounds like. It's pretty simple, but,
You told me you silenced it because your wife's name's Alexa, and you didn't want to keep
No, my wife's name is not Alexa, it's Omega. But no, I silenced it because my only thought was, with these tablets, I mean, we've got three of them in the house. I have one and my two kids have their own Kindle Fires. And I thought, I'm going to silence mine because the last thing I need is my kids running around and something getting triggered. And all of a sudden I load up my tablet and I've got, a bunch of stuff they purchased just without even realizing it. I wasn't sure how sensitive it would be and everything. So I disabled it on mine because I didn't really need it, but it is available now. So you can use your Kindle hands-free with the full triggering. So
you know what that means though now. I mean, Alexa's been on the Kindles for a while, but you had to, I think you had to hold the fake button down, mm-hmm. the non-button, whatever you call it.
Yep.
The touch button. But so now this means Alexa's always listening.
Now, it's only when your device is connected to power or when the screen is in use, according to the article.
Oh, really? Okay. You have to have it plugged in?
Yep. Wow. Which is very similar to like the...
or when the screen is in use, you said.
Yeah.
So if you're using it, it doesn't have to be plugged in. But if it's not plugged in and just sitting there, or if it's plugged in and just sitting there, she can listen. That's I just disabled mine, so she's not listening to me at all, but... As far as I know. But hey, quick follow-up for you based on your intro about 867-5309. It appears a Mrs. Lorene Burns, who is an Alabama householder, formerly was at area code 1-205-867-5309, changed her number because she got hammered with phone calls around the time of that song's release in the early 80s. So just to follow up on your intro. But yeah, Kindle now has hands-free device usage. Big news there.
Sort of, I guess. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you had Alexa. Now you don't have to use your hands like a baby's toy.
Right.
Finally, if I'm a T-Rex, I'm going to have an easier time.
Well, the thing that I thought was kind of cool about it is for those people that do have a few of the devices in their home, like the Echo and, the Show or any of these devices, if they don't have them literally everywhere in their house, I'm wondering if, assuming that this works the same as the rest of them, this should tie in with everything. And so if you were in a room where you just didn't have an Echo, it'd be easy to bring this in there and be able to do something. So let's say you had, a couple devices, but you just didn't have one in the kitchen for some reason, and you needed to get that simple conversion of, how many cups in a gallon or whatever it is. If you just bring your tablet and throw it on the counter, you could, plug it in and talk to Alexa. And that might be convenient as a portable device, rather than just having to set up everywhere in your home with them too. So potentially cool. I don't use any of those devices in my home at all right now, but.
Oh, I use Alexa every day for my newsflash.
Yeah.
Gives me all the daily news and stuff in tech news and everything. Right. But before we go on to the next topic here, I was thinking about this here because you were talking about multiple Alexa activated devices in one room.
Yep.
If I had the money, it would be awesome to buy like say 500 dots.
500?
500 Echo dots, set them up in one room and say the trigger word. I got my muted, so I'll just say it. Alexa, how's the weather? And then have 500 simultaneous Alexa say it at once. Do you think it would be like Marty McFly in front of that big speaker and it would throw me against the wall?
No, I think you use it more just because you'd tell it jokes and hope that Alexa would laugh at you, and then you'd hear lots of laughter from many people instead of just one.
It sounds like I'm at a huge nightclub. I can't even think of one right now. A huge nightclub. I'm at a huge nightclub at every
Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you might need to upgrade your wireless if you're going to have 500 devices attached.
Oh, no, I'm pretty good.
Chrono Trigger's PC port is getting the original SNES graphics back. Tell me more about this one, Jason.
All right, well, I will. It's pretty interesting. I didn't know. I don't own the game. You know, I have it on, emulation. I've used it on emulation stuff, so I don't actually... I didn't purchase this on my tablets and stuff, which I purchased a lot of these, you know, classic RPGs on my tablet, but I didn't get this one. But I guess what this turned out to be is this actually turned out to be the iOS or Android port on the PC and not the actual original Super NES with those graphics.
Yeah,
false advertising.
And I guess, I haven't looked at them side by side or not, but I guess the Chrono Trigger portable port and the portable mobile version was not very good. So now what they're going to do is they're going to bring back the Super NES graphics. And, you know, so it's authentic. It's really retro. It's really nostalgic now. It's not going to be this a port of... Because the mobile version's a port. So this was basically a port of a port.
Yeah.
Double ports.
Yeah, that's, and you know what they say, you know, you have the original, you make a copy of the original. That copy is not quite as good as the original. Then if you make a copy of the copy and you keep that going... It's completely different. You need to keep copying that original. This is for you people that work in an office.
No, I was going to say we saw that in that old movie with Michael Keaton in Multiplicity. Copies of copies of copies don't ever work well.
Nope. I never did watch that one.
I still have to watch that too. I watched it originally. I don't remember hardly anything about it,
though. Oh yeah, it's funny. I mean, I don't know how it stands up, but
gentlemen, I didn't plug my guitar in for this podcast.
Yeah.
However, I do have my keyboard this time.
Yes, it's the all synth version.
We're gonna... Oh yeah, I should switch it, like the electric piano.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna have really deep, meaningful background music.
Can you play us the Chrono Trigger title music real fast?
I can only beatbox it.
Thing is, you could have just said, why yes, and played anything you wanted, because I'm positive Jason does not know what that theme music is.
I sure can. Here it is.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, that's perfect.
So anyway, yeah, that's the news, is now it's going to get the Super Nintendo graphics back.
It's got the graphics, just not... It's still the gameplay of the port, though.
Yeah, probably with all the touch sensitivity.
Yeah. Yeah,
on your tunch? PC.
Tunch? Touch.
Oh, tunch pen.
Tunch, yes, tunch.
I'm going to tunch you in the throat pretty quick.
No. Ain't nobody going to tunch me.
Hey, don't be like a Duffer brother and steal my tunch, all right?
I've heard of Stranger Things.
Yeah, perfect. So what's this all about?
Who's going to take this one?
I haven't heard much about this, so Jason, you put this in, right?
I did put it in. Okay. So
we're off that topic.
What?
Oh man.
How quickly 10-second Tom old over mind. Yeah.
So basically what it is the Duffer brothers, who were the ones that supposedly wrote Stranger Things and produced it, etc., the series, supposedly stole the premise from a 2012 short film. Charlie Kessler, I love the music, who directed the short film Montauk? Is that how you pronounce that?
Montauk, that's what I go with. Montauk?
That debuted at the 2012 Hamptons International Film Festival.
It's funny, he stopped the music and now you just sound like a dummy.
Now I just sound like an idiot. So they filed a lawsuit Tuesday in Los Angeles Superior Court claiming he pitched the Montauk concept to Matt and Rostoffer.
You weren't kidding when you said Willie was your boy. You had his back from All Things Good and Nerdy. He likes to do voices also.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this happened back in April 2014 at the Tribeca Film Festival party, and later presented the script, idea, story, and film to the duo that allegedly used to develop their hit series. Now, this is not the first time we heard about this. Remember the whole,
The Matrix?
Yes, The Matrix. Yeah, kerfuffle. We'll go with that. With The Matrix, how and what were their names? The two guys that supposedly...
The Wachowski
brothers? They basically stole, I guess, the whole concept from a book that was actually published years prior.
What I'm getting here is that anybody that is... It's like a duo of brothers. It sounds like they're really taking stuff.
Yeah,
so, or accused of taking stuff.
So me and brother Tom, if we were to get together, we'd start stealing stuff, right?
Yep.
But here's the thing, with the Wachowski brothers, whatever it was, they were supposed to have stolen the original Matrix, premise, et cetera, the story. That is probably why the first one was awesome and the next two sucked.
Could be.
Yeah, but here's the, because they did write 2 and 3 themselves.
Right.
But from what you two have told me, this Stranger Things is amazing.
It is.
Now, they were just pitched a script, ideas, story, film. It wasn't 2 full seasons of material. So these guys, even if they did steal the basic premise, they wrote some dang good stuff from what you guys have told me.
I think so. And I mean, it'll be interesting to see as this lawsuit goes through and they process it, because the interesting part, and they talk about it here in this article, say that... that script idea for Montauk, that wasn't even an original, because both of those came after a book in 1992 titled The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time, which apparently, based on this article, was about secret government experiments at a place called Camp Hero in Montauk, Long Island, which launched numerous conspiracy theories. So they all got the idea and kind of, changed it around and did things. And, who knows what's going to come of this. And I'll tell you, when it gets to stuff like this, as far as copyright and, intellectual property and things like that, it's all going to depend on who can make the best case about, how much they infringed. I mean, we've seen it in music. We've seen it in other movies. We've seen it in places like that. And, it really, really just comes down to, if this guy that's claiming they stole it can make a strong enough case. I mean, I'm not even talking legally, but convince enough people. And, if the Stranger Things guys can decide that, no, we got that idea, but then we wrote our own thing. We didn't take his script and do anything. Yeah, he pitched it to us and we forgot about it. And, in 2015, and now we just went and wrote our own thing. So,
well, what they're saying, because they released a statement, is we've never seen his film. This is meritless, and he's just trying to profit off us.
Yeah. So he's saying that they're not even, they don't know anything about this guy's script.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that very well could be true. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that, they just try to jump something successful. They're going to try to jump, on it, try to get some money out of it.
Well, and this is when you look at that, that's the interesting thing. It says he is suing for breach of implied contract and seeking monetary damages and wants a jury trial. He doesn't want a judge to rule on this. He wants a jury trial, which, that seems a little bit like, well, he's hoping he can sell the idea enough to them where a group of people will decide in his favor rather than just a judge that knows the law. So, interesting.
So, here's my advice to anybody that's going to be pitching any ideas to anybody that's in Hollywood, etc. Make sure that you have a camera set up, and when you have that meeting, you film it.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You could do that.
Absolutely.
Interesting thing is, so he pitched them this Montauk thing, but when what they created was called the Montauk Project.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there. So.
Yeah.
Especially that whole Montauk thing.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Montauk. The name alone implies similarities.
In the meantime, season 3 is set to release at the end of 2018, beginning of 2019. But my guess is, as long as production's on schedule, we should see this probably like the last two, which will be right around October time frame, just before Halloween, mid-October, somewhere in there. So,
not if Charlie Kessler has his way.
Old Charlie.
You know what this whole thing reminds me of? The other day, so I don't have cable. I've got like over the air TV at my house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a show. Oh, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Well, it was one of those 70s sitcoms.
Laverne.
Oh, that 70s show.
It had rerun in it.
Oh, what's happening?
Yeah, that was the show. And one of the boys was going to pitch his idea to a studio. So he wrote this whole script, and it was about these kids his age, like from the same neighborhood, and they're going to find a bag of money and try to figure out what happened with it and the whole thing. And they didn't get anything for it, and they didn't hear back. And all of a sudden, the next episode that came out of whatever TV show they were pitching it to, it was their whole plot and premise.
Oh, boy.
So they got all mad. You know, it sounds really familiar.
Yeah.
And they go down there, and they storm the place, and all the hijinks ensue and whatnot. And finally, the guy comes out and shows them their script, and then shows them five more that all had the exact same idea. And he's like, this is, we get so many ideas, guys, and this is nothing new, and da 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 da. So, I mean, it could be, you know, it's always possible that there's a coincidence of the plot stuff. But, I mean, the name.
But they're rip, yes.
Yeah, the name is a pretty big factor in there, because it's not only the name, the Montauk name, but the concepts are similar.
Yeah,
doing with time and everything. So they do have a good case. If they could prove that was their concept, they did sit down with the Duffer Brothers, they could prove it. I mean, because there's enough evidence there. I mean, if it was a place called Jeepersville, and they were talking about going underwater and creating a some type of refuge for turtles, no, it's completely different.
I thought you said you hadn't seen Stranger Things.
I thought weren't both projects based on something older?
Yeah, both projects were based on a book. That was about experiments done that took place in Montauk. Was it Long Island?
Okay.
So, I mean,
so one guy's suing over a story that came from that older book that he did.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what's in that older book. Because the article didn't really say too much about the book other than it's, a government conspiracy thing where they were doing, experiments on kids and stuff. So
what I'm interested in doing, so at the very top of this article they've got a link, not at the very top, where's the actual, you can actually read the full lawsuit that was filed in the state of California, where that's going to have all the actual super detail on what was shared.
Oh yeah.
Rather than just go off the article. But
so are you saying that you're going to do a book report for us?
Yeah, I can read this and come back. This kind of stuff fascinates me.
Yeah, yep, yep. It's pretty interesting.
It fascinates all of us.
Now, I
sound fascinated.
Yeah, I am so fascinated. No.
Oh, fine, I won't read it.
What I am fascinated by, and I'm also terrified by, is that in our show notes, we've got a little note here from Jason that says, Jason got a new toy. Ask him what it was. And then I wrote in the show notes, no, I'm too scared to ask. But I think we have to ask, what's this all about? I mean, you have a new toy. That's fine.
Indeed. I got a brand new toy on Friday, and I'm going to give you each one guess of what it is. Dave, let's start with you. What do you think my new toy is?
On Friday?
Yes, I got it on Friday.
Well, I know you've been trying to play. You got into the beta for Ark.
Oh, yeah.
And your old iPad, was it a mini you had, wouldn't play it. So did you
mini
get a new,
too.
Did you get a new iPad?
No, I have that ordered. It has not arrived yet. But no, that's not what I got.
He's getting one.
Yeah.
So you got two new toys.
Well, yeah, the other one hasn't come yet. So what is your guess, Adam?
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, oh, dang, this iPad's not fast enough to run this.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I'm going to go with gaming headphones.
Nope. I'm going to give you guys a couple of hints. It does happen to be an Apple product, one that I have not had, one that...
The iWatch.
Exactly.
Oh, you went with the Apple Watch.
It hasn't been called the iWatch since it was, in pre-production or whatever.
Don't tell me what I don't know.
You don't know nothing. Yes, I finally have myself an Apple Watch. On what day was it? I think it was like last Wednesday or something. Walmart had a one-day sale, and I got some type of notification online, and they had a one-day sale on their Apple Watches, $100 off.
Wow.
Their different Apple Watches. And that took the Series 1, which, you know, yes, is two generations old, but it's the Series 1 dropped that down to 150. So both my wife and I each got one.
Nice.
And I got to tell you, it is very cool. Very, very cool. I would never spend $400 or $500 on a watch. There's just no way I could. I never thought I'd spend $150 on a watch. But, I mean, it was tempting. You know, it was on sale. We both have been wanting one because, you know, we both have iPhones. So we're like, hey, let's get an Apple Watch. And they are pretty cool. Have you guys ever messed with one, had one?
No.
Nope. Not at all.
It's pretty dang sweet. I'm going to let you know right now that I did upgrade it to the latest Watch OS, which is 4.1, I think it is. Tons of new features, which I didn't know the old features because I just got it, but it's completely updated with all features. And I love it because not only does it do all the stuff that any type of fitness watch will do, I mean, into the nth degree, I mean, way more than what any of those can do, but you can install every type of app on it. My watch has, you know, it vibrates when you get notifications, but it notifies me of, you know, anything that I wanted to. I could turn notifications on and off, but all my Facebook messages, Messenger, messages, you know, Apple messages alone, news, every single time you guys message me on, what's it called? What's the thing we use here?
Discord.
Yes. It brings it right up on my watch and shows me what you guys said. I can even text you guys, and it's a little bit harder because you have to like write every letter. Like I'll write T and it'll disappear H E and I'll put the on there. Then I hit space and then keep doing it like that. So you actually write the letters. And it works decent. I mean, you're not going to want to write any novels or anything on this bad boy. Also, your phone starts ringing. You look at it to see who's calling. You don't have to pull your phone out. You can actually answer it or hang up, et cetera, right on it. And it's just, it's amazing.
So you're liking it.
Oh, I love it. Something I didn't really think I would like, you know, that I needed. But now it's like, man, you have everything right at your wrist. It's pretty dang cool.
How are you finding the integration with the, you know, the health app as far as the fitness tracker side of it?
The health app, okay, you get so much information on the phone itself, and man, it just breaks all those statistics down really good for you. Sorry, I was moving away from the mic there for a second. But I was grabbing my phone. But you pull up the health app, and I don't even know what it's called. Activity. It's called Activity. And you could look at the whole month that you're at, and it shows you how well you've done. It tracks different things like, you know, how much time you spent moving in the day and how many calories you burned, how much exercise you get, and it determines how much exercise you're getting by how your heartbeat, you know, if your heartbeat, if you're just like, you know, walking around an office slowly, it's not considering that exercise. But once your heartbeat gets over a certain rate, it considers it exercise. Mm-hmm. And it could determine how much you're standing or sitting, which is kind of cool. It tracks how many steps, all that kind of cool stuff. And you can earn achievements, which is kind of cool for those, you know, people that, hey, you know what? I don't really want to get healthy, but man, if I walk this many steps or I get this much exercise in a day, I'm going to unlock this medal.
Yeah, it's the gamifying of fitness.
You'll just pay for the loot box.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just going to pay to open it all up, you know, like, yeah.
Well,
I just walked 87 miles today.
Paid for it.
Right. I mean, that's one thing that has interested me about the Apple Watch, and I've looked at it in the past, and I wrote that article a while back now. I think it was back in January, maybe, about fitness trackers on digitalsuppodcast.com, and I owned a Fitbit Charge HR, so it had the heart rate monitoring, everything, and I loved it. I mean, it was really great, and I kind of want one again. The thing that's so frustrating is that, especially when you get into trackers with the heart rate monitors, battery life can be an issue. It's not as great as I like. It's not terrible, but it's not as great as I'd like. But the thing with the Apple Watch that always kind of deterred me from it is that with something like a Fitbit or, you know, the Garmin devices or any of the other, you know, sports products out there, I mean, they're not as cool looking. They don't have all the cool functionality necessarily, but they're made so that I don't have to worry about it. If, you know, I can wear it while I'm in the middle of a workout, if I'm going for a run or if I'm going to do an actual workout, it's tracking that as well. And it knows that's exercise and things like that. The Apple Watch, to me, I always looked at and thought, you know, I can't work out with a watch on my wrist, like a regular watch, because they are big. And so when you're doing like push-ups or you're doing things where you're bending your arms, I always would worry that you're going to, you know, A, get the band all sweated up or, you know, different things like that. And so the Apple Watch, it seemed like a great, you know, fun product and great fitness tracker for daily activity, but not great for the actual workouts and things like that. That's why I never did it. So I guess, you know, you'd have to put it to a test and see how it handles that for you.
Yeah, right. Like I'm going to work out.
Yeah, let's get you on a routine. I got to get back on track anyways, so I'll do it at the same time and we'll do a little home body based workout as far as you know, no gym or nothing, just body weight and see how it holds up. Just for the show. I mean, you got to do it for the show, right?
For the show.
I mean, your health doesn't matter. Who cares? Yeah. But we need content for the show.
Well, here, now you brought up one point here about, you know, the size of it.
Yeah.
Now, yes, it is a little bit wider than, you know, the standard Fitbits. But no, you know, that latest Fitbit does have the bigger face.
Yep.
You know, you know which one I'm talking about. I can't remember.
Yeah, they have their, the Surge, I think it is, which is their kind of smartwatch equivalent. Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to let you know there are two different sizes of Apple Watch. I don't know if you knew that or not. Mm-hmm. There's the 38 millimeter and the 42 millimeter.
Yep.
Now, they're not a huge difference in them, but, you know, the 42 millimeter does have a little bigger screen. It is a little bit a bit wider, has a bigger battery in it, so it does last a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a second. I have the 38 millimeter, and it is, I mean, it's not huge. It's nice size. I mean, it's a really nice size.
Well, 38 millimeter, and I don't mean this as a joke or a put down, but the 38 millimeter size, isn't that usually when they look at the smaller faces, you see a lot of times women will go with those because they are smaller for the smaller wrists?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm not picking on you. Or,
yeah,
you
don't know, be picking on me, man. No, Apple does not.
Girly wrists. I mean.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. I got such a dainty wrist. Now, I could have went with the 42 millimeter, but it was more expensive. That's the reason why. I mean, I stuck with this. It's $150. But no, it's a great size. I'll take a snapshot of it later. I'll have it on my wrist, and I'll take a snapshot just so you can see what it is. And, well, you got little hands like Trump. Well, no, I don't, man.
You my need hands to are fine. Get some regular pictures of it and put them up and do a proper review for the website, I think, too.
Yeah, I might. Give me like a week or so of actual use. Now, I want to jump right onto this battery that you said about it.
Yeah, you know, careful.
Here's what I... What?
I said, jump on a battery. Could blow.
I said, no, be careful.
Hey, this is a family show, guys. battery life has not been a problem yet so far for me. I've used it for 2 full days. I've wore it since I woke up until I go to bed. And, you know, my work days are 10 to 11 hours. You guys know how that, well, no, you guys.
Okay, hold on.
Seven.
Say that really slow and I'm going to play some piano over it. So it sounds really sad.
What part?
Your work days.
My work days are how many hours?
10 to 11 hours a day.
My work days are 10 to 11 hours per day.
My feet hurt when I'm done.
If only I had something that would help me notify when I get a message.
I get so tired, I don't want to pull my phone out of my pocket. No. So, battery life.
My wrists are so damn fat.
Battery life. When I go to bed at night, the last, you know, well, last night was my first, you know, yesterday was my first full day. Today is my second full day. Anyways, I haven't dropped below 50%.
Okay.
So that's actually pretty good. And you know me, I like to mess with it. So yes, I've been, you know, looking at the news and doing different things. Oh, another really cool thing is I have my, you know, I listen to music, I listen to podcasts, everything on my phone. You guys know how this is. You do the same thing. Well, when it's playing on there and I pull my wrist, you know, it's kind of cool. Your watch is black until you turn your wrist towards you and then it lights up, which is, I think that's pretty dang sweet. But while I'm playing music, it has the controls for the music, the title and everything that's going on. I can pause, fast forward, restart, all that kind of stuff right on my watch.
Nice.
So, yeah. Excellent. So, like, say you're driving in a car, your phone is in the compartment or whatever, or it's in your pocket, in your coat, whatever you're doing, because you're just streaming via Bluetooth. You don't have to pull that bad boy out and take your eyes off the road. You could just, you know, quickly, you know, turn your wrist, hit pause.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't claim that it's hands-free anymore.
Well, if you don't have hands, you probably won't have a watch because no, that sucker will slide right off.
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I had to get a dad joke in there.
I love listening to music and stuff and then controlling it with that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe someday I'll make $30 billion on Wall Street, you know?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Do you run Spotify on that phone?
I controlled Spotify on my phone from my watch.
So Spotify, valued at nearly $30 billion in an unusual Wall Street debut, they opened at $165.90 a share on the New York Stock Exchange Tuesday, and then later it fell below $150 a share. But, wow, that's...
I mean, and that's great. I mean, we just did a story, a couple of weeks ago about how streaming services are...
I bet you that's what boosted their IPO.
Yeah, us talking about them. Woo!
Yeah, like, we kept them alive. Well, in iHeartRadio...
Influencers.
You know, and I was listening to... what was I listening? Better Podcasting, I think, today.
Mork and Mindy in the Morning?
No, I was listening to one of the recent episodes of Better Podcasting. It wasn't even today. It was just the other day. And they were talking about how... I think it was the Gunna Geek show. They got it up on iHeartRadio, which is a pretty big deal. And like 2 days after they announced that they were, we're finally in iHeartRadio, and iHeartRadio filed bankruptcy. And that was right around the same time as we were having our conversations about that, whole streaming service thing. And so it's interesting, and it's great to see that, Spotify is going strong, and we talked about how, I know there's some lawsuits and some different things happening there, but definitely a cool move. Now, the thing they did about this, now, I don't know if this is what's calling it unusual, but they didn't release it as a standard IPO or something like that. I'm looking for the terminology here, but basically the way they released it, they wanted to make sure that employees could, on day one, sell stock if they wanted to. If they don't want to keep their stock in the company, they can just turn around immediately, which is called a direct listing method. And that's so that, their employees and longtime shareholders can sell stock on day one if they choose. If it were a typical IPO, they'd have to wait for the share lockup period to end. And that's one of the things they say, that as for investors, keep an eye on this once they go fully public here, because it could be that you see a lot of employees and a lot of shareholders actually sell their stock right away within the first few days. And if that happens, you might see their stock price actually drop quite a bit at first. More than likely, though, it's a great time to buy, because if that price goes down, snap it up, because you know it's going to jump right back up. Spotify is really valued well, and they seem to have things solid. Obviously, to preface this, we are not... investment people. We're not giving you financial advice. Look into it and do your own thing. But as far as...
Invest in iHeartRadio. Your good things are coming.
Yeah. Yeah, like the rest of their bankruptcy. But but no, I mean, it's very cool to see that, this company... I mean, I've used Spotify for a long time, and I really love their services. I've tried Slacker. I've tried Pandora Radio. I still use Pandora a little bit because my smart TV cannot run Spotify for whatever reason.
That's pretty dumb then.
Well, they pulled it off, and it was clunky when it was on there. And Spotify pulled their smart TV support for a lot of the devices because they just weren't able to get it to work smoothly. So Pandora is my only music option as far as built in on the smart TV. But...
Well, don't you have a Roku hooked up to the smart TV?
On that one, I don't. My Roku's down here in my office with me, and which is kind of dumb because I, for anything I'm going to watch on the Roku down here, I've got three monitors that I can pull up whatever I want right on my computer screen. So I don't know why I even bother.
Idiot!
Yeah, I should just move that Roku upstairs. But Spotify, they seem to be doing awesome things, and I'm finding it, truly, truly interesting that, first we talk about this on the show and all of a sudden their value's boosted. And not only that, but we get listed on Spotify, Digital Soup. You can find us there.
I think that was the big thing, was all of a sudden people like, where else can we get Digital Soup? Yeah. Spotify?
I want to listen to it twice.
Yeah, what? Let me get out on this. Spotify's doing this. There must be worth money.
Pandora don't have them. I ain't going there.
No, but very, very cool news for them, and hopefully it pushes the company forward and lets them do, you know, keep innovating and do some better and better things out there. So I just have to say, though, and to comment on this article, their sub headline, you know, the main headline, like you said, this is over on CNNTech.com, or their tech division of CNN.com. You know, headline says Spotify valued at nearly $30 billion in an unusual Wall Street debut. That's the headline we've got linked up in our show notes. The next line, I love it. You know, never a more clickbaity title I've ever seen. Apple tried to kill Spotify. Now the streaming streaming music service is worth nearly $30 billion. It's like a major action summer blockbuster movie.
Major corporations hate this tactic.
Right. Right. Very, very cool, so, though. Spit it out.
Well, I heard Adam was going to do the same thing I just did.
I shouldn't say that on episode 69, I guess, but jeez.
So, Adam, why don't you go ahead and say what you're going to say, because I think it was going to be the same thing I was going to say, but you say it much better than I would say it.
What time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
That is right, guys. It is time for the Geek Off this week, and it's a little bit of foreshadowing because we've got a topic coming up about Indiana Jones. And what I want to know this week on the Geek Off, in the topic we're going to have coming up a little bit, we'll dive into it
deeper
there.
The dog was named Indiana. There we go.
Well, no, but there's
no,
some,
yes,
talk,
it was.
Some talk about it being in the future Indiana Jones or Indiana Joan, and there's some talk about possibly a female Indiana Jones going forward. And what I want to know here in the Geek Off is, what is your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Right. And your favorite character in that movie besides Indy himself?
Easy. So, do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
For it. Okay, so, and I Jason won't agree with me on this one, but mine goes back.
I probably will.
Mine goes back to nostalgia, and it's not the popular choice, but Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was one of my favorites as a kid. Still is. Short Round was my favorite character on there, non-Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing there, though, Adam, is out of all the Indiana Jones movies, that was considered the worst just because of how dark it was. And I can't remember who it was, if it was either Harrison Ford or it was Steven Spielberg, apologized for how dark it was after the movie was released.
Guy gets his heart ripped out, and I'm a little kid watching this like, yeah.
I'm not making that up.
They apologized for it because they set up this as such a family-friendly movie, the first one. You know, it was loved by everybody, and then that second one just got really dark.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why my favorite one, and it wasn't because of that reason, because I love blood and gore, believe me.
Hold on, let me predict it. Adam, he's going with the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, the one. No.
I didn't even count that one.
Oh, my God. I hated it. No, The Last Crusade. I enjoyed The Last Crusade so much. And, you know, and it, you're going to laugh again because I'm going to go with the crowd here. But my favorite character was Sean Connery, you know, playing Indy's father.
Wasn't
Shia
LaBeouf
in
that?
It.
Was that the one? With
no, he was in the fourth.
He was in the last one.
That's
no, he
right,
played
yeah.
young Indiana young Jones Indiana. Where it showed how he got his scar on his chin, right?
Yeah, something like that. I forget.
But yeah, I would have to go with Last Crusade because not only was it a great story, great action, etc., but the comedy level was pretty high in this one too because
oh, phenomenal.
Of Sean Connery's character.
When I go back and watch the trilogy, which I probably do once a year, Last Crusade is actually it's my current it's a much better movie, and of course Sean Connery kills it in there, and it's pretty awesome. So,
but I don't know. I've got to say, I mean, I don't know what my favorite movie is out of all of them. But Adam, as far as when I wrote this and came up with this idea, and I asked about favorite character besides Indy himself, I'm with you. I picked the same one. I just absolutely love that character.
Short Round's awesome.
Yep, yep.
Okay, Dr. Jones, hold on to your potatoes.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Kiwi Kwan. Oh, just awesome.
My question, though, to you, and I guess I never thought about this before, but why did he call him Short Round? I could understand short, but where'd the round come from?
Yeah, he was scrawny, but...
Roundhouse kick.
Ah.
Did he do a roundhouse kick?
Well, he sure did. He did plenty of kicks in that movie. Plus, yeah, a roundhouse kick or a...
So that's where it came from? Okay.
I'm assuming.
All right. I'll believe you this time.
Perfect. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about this Indiana Jones or Indiana Joan.
Do you want to know my feeling? Before we actually get into the story, do you want to know my feeling on this?
I'm probably going to agree with you.
It's going to be a grumpy old man.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think they need to stick with Indiana Jones. And here's the reason being. Mm-hmm. Not only is that, that's the legacy. I mean, that's like all of a sudden, instead of it being the movie Spider-Man, now it's all about Mary Jane. The next movie is Mary Jane as Spider-Man.
Whoa. Hold on right there, though, because they have done that many times. Currently in the comic books, there is a female Iron Man. It's not Tony Stark. In Thor, Jane Austen, the girlfriend, love interest, she picks up Thor's hammer and becomes the female Thor. That run is almost over. And in Spider-Man himself, if you remember Gwen Stacy.
In who, him?
In the Spider-Man comics themselves, I'm sorry. Gwen Stacy, that is Spider-Gwen. There is this crossover happening. Now, with this Indiana Jones topic, though, I don't think they're actually talking about changing the name to Indiana Joan. I think they're just
talking about a female-led
Indiana Jones.
And they can't because we already have that. Why do we already have that, Adam?
Are you thinking about Tomb Raider?
Lara Croft, exactly. That would be... Now we have two female Indiana Joneses, really?
Well, so I agree with you. I think the character, as a character, Indiana Jones it's Indiana Jones. But if they're going to, let's say they're done making all Indiana Jones and they want to still kind of carry this on in the same
universe.
Carry the franchise on.
Yeah, carry the franchise on. If they decided to make it female, I read this article on, what is this, theringer.com.
Yep.
There's a couple answers in there that are okay.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of all of them, but I came out with four female actresses that I think could do okay in this role.
Yeah. So before we get to those, because I want to know who you guys
think. And I got something I got to say, too. I just thought of the perfect thing.
Am I the only one that actually, I mean, I know there's Tomb Raider out there, but Indiana Jones feels different than Tomb Raider to me. I don't know why.
Is this a guy?
Yeah. Well, no.
Because it's a Spielberg film, and the one that we've gotten so far are just not.
Yeah, and I do want to see the brand new one that just got released this weekend. But to me, I mean, I think about it, and I know they're saying this will be they're pretty sure that the upcoming Indiana Jones movie will be Harrison Ford's last run.
Yeah,
and I don't know. God, I look
that
at
last
it
and, one should have been his last run. Oh my
well,
God.
And, yeah. I mean, I'm absolutely fine with them keeping the much like Star Wars is done, keeping a franchise going and bringing in fresh blood. Now, do they necessarily?
Does it always have to be a female? Well, lead because of the current times.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, if they do it, I hope it's for good story reasons and for, you know, something that makes sense for the story. I think it can work just fine. I don't think it has to be the obvious of this is his daughter or his niece or, you know, something like that. Could just be an understudy that takes it up. And I think what you can see end up happening is that the franchise stays as Indiana Jones. And then it's all these sub-stories under it where there's a new person that's stepping up. Now, whether it be a woman or a man, doesn't matter to me as long as the story is good. But if they have the right actress and they have the right story in place, I'm all for it because, right. I mean, it can be excellent. But don't do it just to have a woman because of the political climate. I mean, to me, any right. decisions and, made on that I don't like. But
And I'm not interested in going down the path of discussing like, well, this is supposed to be a male hero getting all the ladies and all this stuff. Let's pick a different state, pick a different name. You're gonna have Minnesota Gwen, and
Gwen isn't whatever, a Minnesota name. Gertrude, no.
Either would be.
What's
fine,
a good Norwegian name?
Can you guys both agree with me on this? The ending of The Last Crusade, along with the title. I mean, it's The Last Crusade, and then in the end, they all ride off into the sunset.
Yep.
That should have been where it ended, especially based on the last one. Let's assume that hypothetically that they go forward. Who do you guys think would be a good, female version of Indiana Jones?
I got it. Can I do it?
You do it.
All right, hold on. I'm writing this. The whole time Dave was talking there, I was writing this because this is going to be awesome here. All right.
He's writing something, a script or what?
No, seriously. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Adam, give me a little bit of suspense music.
Okay, hold on a second here.
Please be Scooby-Doo music.
with Dr. Jones spending his golden years in a retirement home in Florida. His daughter takes over his adventures and brings a whole new dimension to cave spelunking. Emily Deschanel is Indiana Bones.
Oh, Emily Deschanel.
Hold Did on, you me. Never watch the show Bones?
No, I know who it is. I was saying, oh, I didn't think of that choice. Yeah, that's a... I know who you're talking about, yeah.
And that's a joke, Indiana Bones. I wasn't serious.
Oh, I was like,
she could be, though.
I could see it, though. She's got
okay,
that.
Okay, cool.
She's got, you know, what was her official title? I mean, Bones, obviously, but what was her job title in that show?
She was the medical officer on the Enterprise, right?
I'm a doctor, not a spelunker.
Oh, she was like a forensic.
Yeah, hold on. I'll find out.
Forensic pathologist or something like that. That's a possibility. I mean,
Temperance Brennan was her name.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's see, she
worked with that vampire.
She had a PhD. What is it? Anthropologist, forensic anthropologist.
Yeah, that could work.
See, it's not far off from Indiana Jones.
Right, right. Modern day. Yeah.
Man, isn't that hilarious? I just think of a nice rhyme, and you know, now it's the thing.
So that's Zooey Deschanel's sister.
Yes, actually, it is. It's pretty weird thinking about that.
So here's who I put in there, and I started thinking, it's got to be somebody that's kind of that can play kind of that tough role.
Yeah,
still come off pretty smart. I threw out Hilary Swank as one of the options.
I could see that.
And then I also added Emily Blunt. I've got a couple of British gals in here.
I would take Emily Blunt as Indiana Jones over Hilary Swank.
I mean, she's the Angel of Verdun, so.
Yeah. And you can, yeah.
And she's silent in the most recent movie.
Haley Atwell, maybe.
Yeah,
could do an American accent.
Honestly,
she's kind of got that classic look.
Yeah, but why couldn't she have a British accent? Why couldn't she be, it doesn't have to be a daughter or, you know what I mean? Why couldn't she just be British?
I suppose. Yeah, maybe she could be. What's the guy that in the Indiana Jones series that they had like his bust at the college and stuff? That could be his like niece.
Yeah, something. Yeah,
or his one of his understudies or something. My last choice. If I don't know if you guys know who Catherine Winnick is. She played Lagertha in Vikings.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I think she could probably pull off something like this. She's like as far as the physical role, she's a martial arts expert and all this stuff.
And I just thought of one here.
Not unattractive, so.
I was going to say, Dave, I just thought of one that I think you probably would agree with me on.
Yeah?
Chloe Bennett.
No, I don't.
Oh, come on, dude!
I do enjoy her as an actress, but I do not see her in this kind of role.
She's good looking. She has the brown hair, which all the Laura Crofts have.
I'd be far too.
Oh, annoying. Wait, we're not even talking about Laura Croft. Sorry.
Well, the thing is, the girl that's playing Laura Croft right now, what is it?
I like her. She's British.
Alicia Vikander or whatever. She would be perfect, but she's already Laura Croft, so that ain't going to happen. But I, Chloe Bennett, I don't know. I see her too much. I mean, I really, really enjoy her character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but. I just don't see her playing this archaeologist, you know, adventurer. I see her more.
But you throw the mutant in there. That would be awesome.
Oh yeah. So suddenly we're mixing. She's got her superpowers.
Blend these universes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
How about Melissa McCarthy?
No, I don't. I don't think it can be that.
I would love to see her in a Laura Croft outfit.
No.
Okay.
We'll leave that there, but I don't Indiana Jones has got humor, but it's always kind of a real subtle, you know, kind of.
The pen is mightier than the sword.
Yeah, but I no comedy Indiana Jones. I mean, I don't want this to be a straight up comedy, because then it's almost like you're just making a parody of the whole franchise. Daisy Ridley, though, I mean, she'll never do it because she's in Star Wars as, you know, the main character right now.
Yeah.
She would be a decent fit, I think, for that. But out of all the names I've heard, honestly, I didn't even think of it. But originally I thought Emily Blunt all the way. And then you said Haley Atwell. And honestly, I would take Haley Atwell as Indiana Jones over Emily Blunt. I don't know why. I think that would be just a perfect fit, though.
Emily Deschanel, we'll end with that.
I'll send her a direct message on Twitter and tell her to go for the role.
Yeah.
Because I know her. Yeah, I'm just
kidding. You're tight. Good friends.
Absolutely not. speaking of Star Wars a little bit, now,
hey,
there's another...
Play your music, Star Wars music, going
you can't.
Into the story.
We'll get
no,
sued.
You can change one note. It's like...
There you
far
go.
Enough off that I think we're okay.
Yep.
So there was a new trailer for Solo that dropped today. They're adding a little more bits of humor, a little more insight into what's going on. You know what? At first, and I said this last time when the first trailer came out, I was not excited about this.
Yep.
Not that I don't love Star Wars stuff, but looking back on the character and like, oh, we better show how he won the Falcon. But watching these trailers...
It's
I gotta say, I kind of want to see this, so I'm excited. The new trailer, we're gonna put a link to that in the show notes.
Yep.
Chewie choke slam some dude. You get to see a lot more the characters and stuff, and you get a little more humor with the guy that's playing. What's the guy's name that's playing Solo?
I forget who he's called. What cool. name he goes by?
Kevin Hart, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think though the cool thing about this trailer,
best Solo ever.
Yeah. The trailer that dropped today. That's what's really cool about it is. Not only are you seeing a little more
it's
of the story.
HD.
Yeah, well, that too. But not only are we seeing a little more of the story, but they're showing us a little more of the action that's going to be there. Because up to this point, it's all been kind of these voiceovers and flights and things like that. And this one has a lot more of the physical hand-to-hand and blaster combat and stuff. And Chewie is badass in this trailer. But he also has, seems like he has a couple of those little comedic moments too where... You know, the banter type stuff.
Yeah.
But that scene when you see him, he's fighting, and I don't know if it's in a bar or, you know, cantina type of thing or where it is, but he's got this guy and doing something else, and he picks him up. He's got him over his head and just slams him down.
That's awesome.
It was an awesome scene. I wish they would have made a full-on Chewbacca movie before a Solo movie, to be honest.
All subtitles?
Yeah.
My favorite part of this trailer... Han Solo, he's flying his ship, and he just goes, I've got a really good feeling about this. Just completely anti-Star Wars.
Right.
That's great.
Well, and I've got a question because, you know, we've seen, what's her name? Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones in here as a character. Yep.
No, and she would not be a good Indiana Jones.
No. But we've seen her in here as her, you know, as a real person. But then there's like this robot thing where they're talking about, you know, no, Lando says, no, let the mean people go. And it almost sounds like it's her voice in that robot.
I didn't catch that.
I could be completely wrong on that, but listen to it again because it almost sounds like her voice. But
so what Dave from Digital Suit Podcast is saying is that she was murdered and put in a robot.
I'm wondering if there's
altered carbon style.
Some funkiness happening with that, but who knows? It could have just been
somebody comes
goofy.
In with a sweet bass solo. It's totally funky.
Yeah.
Burp, burp. Yeah. Hey, I think it might be time for a little Gunna Geek action here.
That's right. That's right. And I mentioned him earlier, actually, just in conversation. But as you guys know, we are part of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network, which you can find over at GunnaGeek.com. And they've got tons of different kinds of shows over there from all different topics, whether it be gaming, TV shows, movies, general geek culture, just like Digital Soup, or anything else. But one show they have, because, you know, you guys are listening to us, and many of you may decide, you know what? We want to do a podcast too, and podcasting is awesome. And if you want to learn more about podcasting, Gunna Geek has a show on their network called Better Podcasting. This week they have episode 124, What Type of Host Are You? And what they want to talk about is they say, you know your podcast pretty well, but how well do you know yourself? This week on Better Podcasting, Steven and SP question what your hosting personality is, why this matters, and how you can harness untapped potential. Check this out and more podcast-related topics in this week's Better Podcasting. So you'll find them over at GunnaGeek.com. Look them up or in the podcast player of your choice. But they've always got some really solid, good information if you're interested in how to go about actually making a podcast and keeping that going. So Better Podcasting, GunnaGeek.com.
Why did I feel like I was in church?
Because I was reading you the sermon of the Gunna Geek Network.
I'll change it up next time. All right. Since I don't have my bass, I'll do this.
Weekly Garnish. Nice. You should let that, you should riff on that theme a little more.
Yeah, let it develop, man.
You know what? I randomly hit the keys.
Let's leave this in.
Let it develop.
Okay. Let's leave this in, but I want to feel it. I want you to let it breathe and let it just let it flow. Let's take two on this. Our listeners want this. Not funky enough, dog. Not feeling it, dog. Keep that funk. Yeah.
He just laughs.
Nice. Not,
hold on now. A little more funky here. We'll go.
Oh.
I was going to say, it sounds like it needs an Anagona beat and a little M rapping over it. I hate my mom. I hate my dad.
This one goes out to everybody that's stashing their stash in the woods.
AKA Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Getting in touch with nature.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's time for the weekly garnish.
It
and
is.
And what the garnish is going to be today, it's going to be something that Adam and Dave could never get. Something that only Jason could do. And the reason being is because it's a camera for the Apple Watch. It's called camera, or CMRA, because somebody doesn't know how to spell camera.
So hold on. The two of us on this show that do photography are the ones that
never get this.
We could never understand. Never get this.
Yep. Well, yep. Unless you get an Apple
Watch. Us two Luddites will never understand this.
No, this thing is pretty cool. It's called the CMRA. I'm assuming camera. That stands for camera.
Yep.
But they dropped a couple an A and an E. They're like, you know, the A just fell down and the E fell off the cliff. What? But anyway, what it is a band that for your Apple Watch, and it gives you two high definition cameras. It's pretty sweet. You can take. You know, selfie cam, and then it also has one where you can, you know, video or take pictures of people off the side. It looks pretty cool. You know, you use the screen to actually take the picture, but it's like pointed out in front of you. So, I mean, you could, you know, you see like
this
Dave,
is sneaky.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Dave sees that hot girl, you know, he always is looking at as she's walking by. He could take some pictures, you know.
No.
Or Adam,
that
you know.
That is sneaky. That's a spy camera right there.
Yeah. Or, you know, Dave finds those nudie mags and he could, like, take some pictures of the pages.
No. You know? This is very cool, though. I like this pick, and it looks like it's in early release. You can get on a waiting list for this. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, especially with a smartwatch, there is nobody, and I mean nobody, unless they see what's on your screen, which they won't because you've got to kind of tilt it towards yourself. Nobody is going to ever notice you taking pictures or video because you're looking down at your watch. Who's going to think twice about someone looking down at their watch, you know, especially when it's a smartwatch
and pointing their wrist at you for 5 minutes while giggling.
Or you're in Infinity War and you're like filming the whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah. You see what I'm saying there?
Well, what's
although
his
it
name?
Although only has 8 gigabytes. Has 8 gigabytes of memory. I wonder if you could fit the whole Affinity War.
No, probably not. And I wonder how high quality the video and still images are with limitations like that. But 8 gigs is still a decent amount, but you're probably not going to fit a ton of video.
No.
But, you know, Steven.
Decent pictures, probably.
Yeah, probably on par with, like, the iPhone 6, maybe. I don't know how good the camera is in here. I guess we'd have to wait and see, but... With the iPhones, I think it was Steven Soderbergh just filmed that entire feature movie on the iPhone. What was it called? Unsane. And if you can look it up and find trailers on that. But feature-length film in cinemas, in theaters now, shot on an iPhone. So how long until we see footage coming from this camera device?
I want to see more like attachments that like make your watch shoot lasers.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Freaking laser beams.
So, like when we're watching this video and she's taking this video of this guy doing this little funky shimmy dance,
yeah,
she could be like, nope, your dance stinks. Boop, hit the button, zap him right there. Pew, cartoon style. All that's left is his shoes.
Or it puts out like a puff of some kind of like memory wiping gas.
A memory wiping gas.
Oh, Men in Black. That the Men in Black.
Yeah, like the stick. Flash. Like yeah, memory stick. You have a flashy cool thing, me, Jay?
We totally derailed your garnish, Jason.
I know. Well, it's no,
that's
it's
good.
It's
that's
cool.
Interesting products.
It is. Definitely CMRA. Check out the link, everybody. Yeah.
Check out the link. CMRA.com.
I don't know if I entirely like the name, but you know.
Well, it's in keeping with what you see from a lot of these kinds of things. I mean, they're saying there's two HD cameras, image stabilization, all day battery, does have built-in noise reduction, water resistance. So I mean, would work fine on the fitness band. And what's interesting to me is that it's building the camera into the band and then somehow interfacing with the watch itself. So I wonder if it's almost like a Bluetooth,
I'm going to assume.
Yeah, some sort of Bluetooth connectivity to the watch. It's interesting concept. We'll see if they can deliver on this one.
I'm hoping you can film more than just shimmies. Or is this like the shimmy
camera? You can film shakes as well.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, looking at this, though, although the aspect ratio, you know, looks to be traditional video where it's horizontal instead of vertical, although maybe you can switch that, but this would almost be a perfect accessory for those that love doing like the on-the-fly Instagram stories or things like that where they're just showing what's around them. You know, kind of not quite vlog style, but that kind of thing. Hmm. Could be
or if you have like a crazy naked woman at McDonald's and she jumped over and she's like throwing stuff all over the place and you just want to get some quick video for YouTube.
Is this from experience?
It was actually a real video.
Oh.
Oh, jeez.
No, self. Do
a
not
woman went crazy at McDonald's, was naked, jumped over and was ripping everything apart on the other side of the counter.
Oh, man.
Where's the hot mustard?
I want my Szechuan sauce.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of this episode. So for all of your Digital Soup needs, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com where you can find all of our other articles. We do some product reviews. We do some other cool stuff on there, as well as all the links to our social media. And anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can generally find us, including now on Spotify. So
yes,
from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, to all of you, have a wonderful weekend. We will catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, Dave. Stash out in the woods, gators.